This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. A recent blog post from the Citizens Research Council of Michigan says, anytime Michigan stands alone in some state practice, we should ask if it is being innovative or stuck in the mud. In this case, that practice is how citizen-led initiatives for new laws or possible amendments to the state constitution are approved for the ballot. Eric Lufer is president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Thank you very much for being with us again, Eric.
Gordon, it's a pleasure to be back.
So tell us, first of all, not every state actually allows citizens to propose laws or amendments to the state constitution through initiative, but for those that do, what makes Michigan's process so unique?
Yeah, so about half of the states do allow citizen-initiated laws or constitutional amendments, and many of them are the other side of the Mississippi, but Michigan and Ohio and a few other states around us allow this. And the question is a matter of timing. Right now in Michigan, anybody can propose a petition to initiate a law or change the Constitution. The Board of State Canvassers is a ministerial body. It has very little authority to do anything other than to look at the number of petition signatures and say, is that greater than the number required, or looking at the results of an election and certifying that the winning candidate had more votes than the losing candidate. So has no real authority to decide if the petition was written in the right way or the substance of the proposed change is consistent with state law or anything else. So somebody wants to propose a change, they have the ability to go to the Board of State Canvassers and say, is that petition consistent with state law? So again, a very ministerial thing. Is it the right size font? Is the title in the right place? Does it do the basic things? They don't have to do that, though. And there's been petitions circulated that come back and then they say, well, you didn't use the right size font or whatever. Every other state that has this sort of citizen-initiated process has an approval process before anybody goes out to start collecting signatures where you have to get sign-off on this. And they have a process for looking at the substance of the proposed changes to decide, are you proposing something that is in violation of U.S. constitutional law? Are you doing something that is inconsistent with other provisions in Michigan constitutional law or statutory law? Is it going to cost us money? They put in provisions for some sort of a fiscal analysis to say, it looks like it's a great idea, it's going to help people in Michigan, but it's going to cost money. Let's decide how much that is and understand that up front. And by doing this up front, you're first of all eliminating these rushes to the courthouse when somebody turns in a petition that you don't like and you want to keep it off the ballot. Everything is decided up front, and if we can agree on what it is, whether you like it or not, the whole legal challenges and injecting the courts into this sort of very political process is headed off ahead of time, and there's greater faith in what's being done. And it allows the people, when they're being asked to sign a petition, to have greater confidence in what it is they're signing. You can put in a 100-word description that we put on the ballot. You can put that on the petition. It says, in a very succinct way, this is what it is you're signing. What's going to happen? So we've had a lot of problems in the past with the way we do it, and we can do it better just by looking at what other states do.
You cite a couple of examples from this year in your blog, including the proposal for a part-time legislature, which eventually was dropped. But as you note, the group that wanted to do this actually submitted their petitions three times and then ultimately decided to forego the process of getting pre-approval from the Board of State Canvassers. And then, after they had collected signatures, they decided to change their language. I'm wondering, in this case, is that a real problem with the process, or did this group in particular make a series of mistakes that would have been problematic under many different forms of getting petitions approved?
So the problem with this process is you have a bunch of like-minded people who come together and say, let's circulate a petition because we can't get a legislature to do what we want. So let's circulate a petition to propose change, sort of circumvent the legislature. So they're all thinking the same way, and the proposals don't see the light of day. When you have a legislative proposal, you have to give it to the Legislative Service Bureau, so you have a lawyer saying, I don't quite understand what you're saying here. And then it gets introduced in committee, and you have 10 people looking at it saying, did you think of this or that? And people coming to testify who are affected by it saying, I understand what you're doing, but you didn't think about these types of provisions. But in this petition process, there's nobody providing input. So the Clean Michigan group, who wanted a part-time legislature, drafted their constitutional amendment and tried to get the sign-off on that it was okay, and they had problems putting that together. And then they finally went out in the field and started collecting signatures, and people started coming to them saying, well, you didn't think of this or that. Those are all things that could have been done if we had this sort of process that other states have before they collected their first signature. There would have been lawyers or interested parties saying, I understand what you're doing, but you haven't thought of this or that. So they sort of got it in a very informal way and decided that they needed to pull it out of the field and start over. But it cost them time, and it cost them some smear on their reputation a little bit because they didn't do this sort of due diligence ahead of time.
In the case of Voters Not Politicians, that got held up by a lawsuit by a group which opposes what they're proposing. Could you argue that in that case, maybe what's happening here is the Board of State Canvassers is doing their job in a somewhat unorthodox way? As you say, their job is mainly to approve the form of petitions and figure out if they got enough valid signatures. In this case, they're just holding the process up because they say they want to see what happens in court.
Yes, but it shouldn't be in court at this point. We should have dealt with these issues ahead of time. We should have asked the question of whether every constitutional provision, current constitutional provision, that would be changed or abrogated by doing what the Voters Not Politicians proposal puts forth has been thought of and addressed before the group went out and started collecting petitions. So the Board of State Canvassers, they simply, let's hit the pause button and see what the courts say. So yes, they're doing what they should do. But all of this should have been done before the first signature was gathered, before the first dollar was put into printing the petitions and doing all the things that are required to collect 425,000 signatures.
Is there a guarantee of keeping the courts out of this? I mean, they're a separate co-equal branch of government. Someone can always perhaps find a reason why the process wasn't done correctly, or have other states, by and large, been able to keep these cases from getting into court or getting before a judge?
So I would say, you know, you're not going to preclude legal action. We all know that we're very prone to take people to court to try to keep things from happening. But we don't see the number of lawsuits over these provisions, all these proposal processes in other states like we do in Michigan, because there is a formal process for working things out. There is a formal process for getting input and hearing what those people who don't like what you're proposing say is wrong with it. So then the drafters can go back and say, let's reword it, or let's add on those things that we hadn't thought about. So, you know, yes, it might end up in court once in a while. We might have things. But if we could do these things ahead of time, I think we would be in court a whole lot less often.
So what are a few examples of some things that states have put in place that make this process perhaps a little more obvious in terms of what's going to get on the ballot, and perhaps also things that allow us as the people who might sign those petitions and or ultimately vote on these ballot proposals have a better idea of what it is we're deciding?
So in most states that have initiative process, they ask the Attorney General to weigh in on that. We're not proposing that for Michigan because we have had a string of attorney generals in the past couple of years that have weighed in on these ballot questions, saying they're a good idea or a bad idea. So I think recent history sort of precludes us going down that route. We could look at what Florida has done, where they allow the proponents to start collecting signatures to sort of prove that enough people think that this is a good idea. But then they, at some point in the process, they hit the pause button and they go to the Florida Supreme Court and say, this is what we're about. And the opponents have an opportunity to come in and say, we think the court should force you to stop collecting signatures because you didn't do this or you did do that or you haven't thought about these types of things. In some states, there's simply a process before you go out to say, opponents and proponents, make your case why this is good or bad, and make your case why the drafters didn't do their due diligence and forgot things. And then the people drafting it can listen to those arguments and address those types of things if they need to. There's a group like ours in Louisiana that does research on the ballot questions, and they do an analysis. We do one. We're going to do them at sort of end of summer and beginning of fall leading up to the petition. But Louisiana, they're done way out in front. And then the people have those as they're being approached by petition gatherers to say, here's an analysis of it. Here's something to think about, whether you think this is a good idea that you want to put your name to it. And by doing all these things ahead of time, as I said, you can put that 100-word description on it so there's a clear, concise understanding. The state, many other states, will do an election guide and put it on the state website. So anybody that's interested in how the state's performing or what's going on with to end gerrymandering or to put a part-time legislature to legalize marijuana, they can go to the state and look at all the resources that can be put together ahead of time and understand what's being proposed and understand in a fair way, because it would be balanced by opponents and proponents. So all that information would be good, and instead Michigan has this sort of laissez-faire approach to it, and we end up with less confidence in the process and not enough information to make informed decisions until we actually vote in November.
And the conclusion of your blog notes that Michigan's backloaded process does not serve the citizenry well. Citizens who signed petitions may feel their voices are being muted. And you go on to say that financial supporters may feel their investments are being wasted. But I have to point out that the Michigan Campaign Finance Network has been keeping track of the campaign contributions which have been made to ballot committees, and seven campaigns raised more than $1 million as of April 20th, some of which are not going to get on the ballot. Voters Not Politicians was at $959,000, so it likely has surpassed $1 million by now. I guess it doesn't seem as though these financial contributors are showing a lack of confidence here. There is a lot of money flowing to these campaigns.
Well, we're not involved in the financing. People do things for different reasons, and I would just say we want to instill confidence in government in any way we can. And if we can do it a better way, we should think about doing that.
And as you say, the initiative process was designed to allow grassroots reforms offered outside the political wranglings of the legislative process. All efforts should be made to strengthen that process. Is that the main point you're getting at here? The confidence that people have that a petition is going to actually pass constitutional muster and therefore will actually be allowed on the ballot. And then once that thing is on the ballot, that it's not going to face legal challenges after that.
Yeah, that's the main part of it. Let's provide a process that people can have greater confidence in. But I would also say by front-loading the process, we can have a more informed citizenry so they understand what those petitions are about, if they take care to take the time to find out. But I would suppose that if there is more information, then the newspapers can report on it. And public radio, like yourself, can say, here's a petition that's out there, and there's already information's gathered. So if you're approached on a street corner and they have a petition for this, this is what to think about, whether you want to put your name to that or not. So yes, greater confidence in the system, but also a more informed citizenry.
If any of these reforms were to be enacted, it would require amending the Michigan Constitution. So we'd be back at that point of having to discern exactly what is on the ballot and should we approve it, right?
No, I think everything that we are proposing to front-load Michigan's system could be done statutorily. It would simply mean amending the Michigan election law to say before you can go out, there will be this formal process to do some sort of substantive analysis and define how that would work and who would be involved. It would not subtract from the initiative process, either for initiating statute or constitutional amendments. If you read the Constitution, it sort of defines the skeletons of how the process should work, but then it says, as defined by law or as provided in law or something to that effect. So the constitutional drafters deferred to the legislature, deferred to we the people to decide how that will be implemented. And I think there would be that opportunity to go in and look at what other states do and adjust Michigan's process statutorily. We wouldn't have to amend the Constitution to do these types of things.
But it would require then some political interest and political will to get it done.
Well, certainly, yes. But I think maybe this is political naivete, but I think the problem is that nobody's paying attention to it right now, that this sort of is put on autopilot and our legislature defers to the State Board of Elections to figure out how to do it, and the Board of State Canvassers does their thing, and the legislature is worried about taxes and appropriations and a whole lot of other things. But if this were brought to their attention, I don't know why people would be against this other than it would slow down the front end of the process more. But there's plenty of time to circulate the petitions. There's plenty of time to do your due diligence before the prime time, you know, the summertime when you want to be out collecting signatures. So it, certainly it's a political process to make change anytime you're changing state law, but I don't think it would be a tough road to hoe.
Eric Lufer is the president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. As always, thank you for your time, Eric.
Thank you, Gordon.
A link to his blog post recommending some changes to Michigan's initiative process for ballot proposals can be found at crcmich.org and also through a link at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.